You are listening to the La Tavola Marque Radio Network. Hello, and thank you for downloading our little podcast from Italy. My name is Jason.
Buongiorno, and I'm Ashley.
And today we come to you from sea. We've done podcasts on the road before, but never a podcast at sea.
We're floating across the Adriatic.
On our way to Greece to visit some friends, and we thought we have 24 hours on a boat, so why not do a little podcast?
Let's bring it. Let's start this bad boy. So what's been up?
Well, let me set everything up.
Oh, sorry. I get excited.
Today is Saturday, February 9th. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, Greek time, so that'd be 8 o'clock in the morning in Italy. And we decided to do something different. Instead of driving to Rome and flying to Athens, we decided to drive to Ancona and take the overnight ferry across the Adriatic into the Ionian Sea and into a little port city called Patras on the is it on the Mani Peninsula?
No, Peloponnese.
It's on the Peloponnese, excuse me.
We live about 3 hours from the city center of Rome and about 4 hours because of traffic and how far out the airport is to get to the airport in Rome. And we only live an hour and a half from Ancona. So we just thought...
Oh, not even an hour and a half.
Not even. So it just seemed like kind of... Oh, yeah, from the port especially. But it just kind of seemed like let's do something different and not have to worry about the same kind of security in the airport.
And you can bring whatever you want onto the boat.
You can bring a steamer trunk full of whatever. We had a bag full of groceries and food, and it's a classy group.
Well, so let's make no mistake about it. This is not a cruise.
Not a cruise. It's a ferry.
This is a ferry.
A 23-hour ferry ride.
Which is, it's been fun, it's not bad, the weather's calm and the air is warm, we're on the Greek side now and the water is a beautiful blue color, but...
Snow on the mountains.
Snow on some of the peaks, but it's a motley crew we have on here, not a lot of teeth.
Surly, chain smoking...
Heavy boozers. We got some boozers.
It's a truckers scene.
Yeah, for sure. Lots and lots of trucks.
I didn't want to be left alone.
But it's an adventure, so what the hell.
It is. And when you have time, this is the way to do it, because it's a lot more leisurely. Obviously, you can hear from the echo of the podcast that our stateroom is palatial.
The shower did smell like cat pee.
And it's no bigger than, yeah, it's basically the size of a room you'd expect.
But it's not bad. And I'm sure if you did this in the summertime, there'd be many more families, and it wouldn't be so many truckers. And
yeah, people, like, camp out on the like the decks and stuff. I don't know. It's fun. It's a totally different way to do it.
So maybe for our next podcast, we'll tell you about how our little excursion to Greece was. But right now, we have much to talk about of what's going on in Italy these days.
Yes. So, let's back it up.
Let's start with the main topic of every conversation in, I'm sure, all of Italy, not only Piobico these days,
all of Europe.
Is the election coming up.
Berlusconi's back, baby.
Berlusconi has made some outrageous claims in the last couple weeks about his
good... Number one, what's he going to do?
Refund everyone's property tax for the last 2 years. We don't really understand Italian politics, and we really don't get into it, but...
That's why we have barely ever talked about it on the podcast, too.
But, it is, it's something...
It's a hot topic.
It is a hot topic.
And just, then he said he wants to come back, but he wants to be the finance minister. I don't know, he's all over the place, but he's gaining steam. And this morning when we turned on the news, it said Monti had conceded.
No, it didn't.
Oh, he said he already lost? What did it say?
It said Monti has already lost, but that was from the opposition paper, yes.
All right, this is why we don't talk about, because I don't get any of my facts straight.
No kidding. But it's all anyone, it's really, really the hot topic. We'll see what happens. We have no idea.
Well, tell them what happened when you were in Piobico the other day to get your haircut.
So I was in Piobico right before we left on Thursday. And the Guardian di Finanza, the finance police, was undercover walking around.
Oh, you didn't tell me they were undercover.
Oh, yeah. They were walking around Piobico, an old guy and a young guy.
And Piobico is literally, why I have to preface this, is it's a... it's a one block town or two block town for the most part. So that's why when I thought they were in uniform when you told me the story, and I thought, oh gosh, everyone's got to know they're walking around. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
So what they would do is they would wait outside. They would from across the street scope a place, like say I was in the barber shop. So they would watch the barbershop, who comes in and out, and then they would jump someone coming out and say, did he give you a receipt? Did he give you a receipt? And there was no one in the chair, and there was one kid who was in there before me, so I saw him get the receipt. But they were doing this. They were running down people and running down cars, and I saw something that I've never seen and only heard about. I saw an old woman curse the man, the younger of the two men of the finance police, curse him in dialect and then spit on the ground. Which is something I only thought happened in the movies, but no, it's true.
And it happens in Peopico. I love it.
So what's really going on now is they're starting to crack down on small businesses, which is crazy because it's the big, huge corporations that don't pay taxes. Not the little 69-year-old barber who's been there for 40 years and, you know, ekes out a living because he charges $8 for a haircut.
And won't take a tip.
I try to pay him, I tell him, $8 is too little. Here, take $15. No.
What am I going to do with this?
So, the lady at the Frutta Vendora, the fruit and vegetable stand, she was really upset. At Cafe Del Corso, husband and wife who owned that, they were taught, it was, everyone was out of their shops, everyone knew what was going on, and everyone was cursing the finance police to their face, which was pretty, pretty awesome. And it just goes to show you how mixed up the whole tax system and the whole financial system here in Italy is, that they're going after the wrong people. They're going after hardworking people who are barely scraping together a living in this tiny, tiny town of 2,000 people. And it's kind of crazy.
This is why we don't talk politics.
This is why we don't talk politics, and this is why we don't really get involved in any of this stuff in Piobico or in anywhere. We're foreigners, we kind of stay out of it, and we roll with the punches. We can't change it, we can't vote yet because we're not Italian citizens, so in another 3 years when we get our Italian passports, then we can say something, because then they can't throw us out.
Oh my god. So
that was the main thing happening. We have snow coming to our area this week. So we got out of there and we're in the warm air of the other side of.
It was snowing in Ancona when we were boarding the ferry. I thought, okay, you know, 45 minutes, an hour to the sea, and then going south, we're like in the wine area of the region, and it's not going to be cold. It's not going to be nearly as snowy. It was starting to snow when we left our house. And sure enough, we're waiting for the freaking ferry, which was 2 hours late. And it was snowing. And I just thought, this is ridiculous. So the weather's been crazy, but hopefully nothing like last year.
Yes. I hope to God nothing like last year. The weekend before, we went to our friend Carla and Gigi's pig farm. They raised a type of pig called the Cintacinese, which is a type of pig from Siena, from the Tuscany area.
It's kind of an antique breed. It's a fatter.
It has more fat. It grows slower.
It's black and white. More of a black with kind of a white belly stripe, if you will.
Doesn't get big and fat like the normal pigs would do. They grow slower. Their meat is much more flavorful, and they have much more of the beautiful fat on them that you would make the struto or the lardo with.
I did a blog post about them last spring, too, with some great pictures of their farm, because they really have such a cool feeding system for their pigs in the different fields for their different ages. It's really neat.
What we did is Carlo slaughtered 3 pigs the day before, and we butchered them. So this is the first time I've seen a whole or a half an animal on a table, and we took apart all the pieces. So we would take the guancia or the cheek, then we took the pancetta out. He showed me how to separate the shoulder, how to separate the ham or the prosciutto. We made coppa di testa, which is a type of salami made out of all the innards.
Wait, before you start going... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you cut me off already.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, before you start going into what you made with it, you were a butcher at one point in culinary school. What is the how different was it butchering a pig from when you worked at a butchering
Well, when shop? When I worked at the butcher shop in New York, we would get parts of the pig, and then so you would get the whole shoulder, but you wouldn't get a whole animal delivered. And that was the difference. I mean, this all that they did is slaughtered it, and the thing's just sitting there split in half.
Oh, my God. And the innards on just a hook inside the yep. hanging thing. That was the craziest part.
So it was really, really, really interesting. And they throw away nothing. Nothing, nothing.
No, the dog eats the eyeballs.
Yeah, they scrape the meat off all the bones, and then they boil the head to make the copa. We made...
What was your favorite thing? That we ate at the end.
Oh, they have this thing called chicholi. What they do is you take the fat and you cook it down.
From the whole day, like as you're processing the meat, like all the bits of fat, you just keep going into one big pile. From everything you're trimming, it just keeps going into one big pile.
And then you put the pot on the stove and you let it come up slowly. And then all the little pieces of meat and skin that are in there become these crunchy, crispy little pieces. And you strain it out and press out yeah. All the fat, and you put it into this, you strain it through this machine that then has a, well, it's not a machine, it's really this contraption.
That he built.
Yeah, that has a screw at the top that pushes all the fat out of these little pieces of crunchy skin and meat, so that when you put them on the paper towel, or put them on the carta jala, the yellow paper, they're not greasy at all.
No, that's what I was most surprised about, but I could tell you were in pork heaven.
You can eat them like popcorn, these little pieces, with a glass of white wine, or you can throw them into some bread or some focaccia and make...
Ooh, or like bacon.
Yeah, it's great. It was just really, really interesting. I can't really explain how to butcher a pig on a podcast.
No, you'll have to come to our butchery courses. But the other thing that was interesting, like you said, how they eat everything, they made... Well, that was out of a cow, the tendon salad.
Yeah, they made a salad out of the tendons from the leg, from the lower part of the leg of the cow, which, it was interesting. They took the tendons and they took the lower, like the shank part without the meat and boiled it. And then the tendon becomes very soft. Then you chop up the tendon and you make a salad out of it with rosemary and garlic and lemon juice and olive oil, and you eat it as an antipasto.
Kind of like a squid consistency.
Yeah, a little bit like overcooked squid, kind of a little rubbery. And
something I shocked myself that I ate and enjoyed was eggs and brains. I know, that sounds really gross. Let that hang for a minute. Good morning!
You scrambled eggs with pig brain is delicious. If no one told you that it was, you would think it was foie gras or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, just kind of this hint of porky butteriness.
It tastes like, yeah, it tastes like fatty something, uh-huh. But it was really, really good. That I really dug on. But, man, we ate like, that was a farmer.
It was. What about the livers in the caul fat?
Yes. Also, we made...
That seems like an old-timey thing, too.
It's popular. You take the caul fat, which is the fat from inside the... They call it rete de gras, or the fat net. You can look up caul fat or rete de gras. And then they take the liver and cut it into pieces.
I was just going to say, to someone who doesn't know what these things are, it's actually looks like a really beautiful piece of... fat that it looks like a cobweb.
Like a net, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they wrap it around pork with a bay leaf or a laurel leaf, and then you put it on a stick and you either grill it or throw it into the pan. And it was really, really good. It didn't, the pork liver didn't have a real livery taste. It was really, really nice. I liked that a lot.
I'm excited. I shot a ton of footage, so I've got to go back through everything and see what I'm going to make for some short videos. And I think I'll do a pancetta video soon, which will be really beautiful.
Yeah, we rolled the pancettas, put them under salt. We made sausages, we made salamis.
And he has different recipes because Carlo is originally from the Emilia-Romagna area, so he uses red wine instead of the white wine like we use. And
he also we use all pork shoulder, and he uses different parts of the pig to get the ratio that he wants of fat to meat.
He ties them different, which was kind of cool.
Ties them totally different. He makes a prosciutto out of a pork shoulder, a salted aged pork shoulder, which is fattier but much more flavor than a regular leg, the back leg of the prosciutto. So it was a really, really interesting day. And Carl and Gigi are great. We'll put up a link to their website and to their Facebook page, and you can see hardcore, real Italian farmers.
Yeah, they are legit.
They are legit. Gigi has forgotten more in her lifetime than I could possibly learn. She is the real deal. And Carlo is very... an excellent teacher. Mm-hmm. He's very patient. He's very quiet. He's the kind of teacher, like, I like to teach, whereas you learn by doing it, not by watching me. Whereas the Godster, Gaji, and some of the other guys are more, you watch me for 3 or 4 years, yes. And then maybe I'll let you touch it once or twice.
Exactly.
Which is a different style of learning.
That's why we can't have Gaji over when we do the sausage-making classes and things.
He doesn't let the students do it.
He gets all agitated.
You're gonna let him fill the sausages? They've never done it. I go, I know, that's what they're paying money to learn.
And you're like, the casings are not expensive, just enjoy it. You gotta get your hands dirty.
So, Carlo is an excellent teacher. I learned a ton, and I can't thank them enough. Thank you, guys. And we'll put up their information.
Mm-hmm. It's great. So, speaking of the sausages and salamis, can you think off the top of your head what our final count was hanging in apartment 3?
Over 100 kilo.
That's over 200 pounds.
Yeah, because we made 50 kilo with Vittorio and Gaji, and then we made another 50 kilo with Teresa a few weeks ago, and then I made another 10 kilo with Giorgio, or I'm getting all these names mixed up,
Carlo.
So I think we have 110 kilo.
Nice.
The first sausages that we made when I got bamboozled.
Mid-January?
We made them on the 4th of January. Those have already come down. So they took about 4 weeks for the first sausages to dry. And they tasted great. They were wonderful.
And the salamis?
Still going. The salamis should take about 6 to 8 weeks, which is on... the way they feel now, they're pretty much on par. Every 3 or 4 days, I go up there. We keep the windows open, and I go up there and I turn the salamis so that nothing's touching itself for too long.
Oh, did you put the cork in the other sausages?
I took care of it all.
You are good. You are good.
So when we're gone, the Gaji will go up and rotate them for us and stick any others. We stick ours under sottovuoto, vacuum seal bags. You can stick them under vacuum. We've talked about this. Vacuum steel bags, you can put them under struto or lard. You can put them under oil. I don't like any of that.
The vacuum seal bags do the least in changing the flavor of the meat, if you ask me.
Yeah, before there was vacuum seal bags, they had to do something.
Yeah, but I mean, in this day and age, I hate the oil.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess. When we come back, it will be time to get going. Our first guest will be arriving in mid-March, so... whew. That went fast.
I know. It's carnival right now, and everyone's been dressing up and eating the fat treats. We put a post of castagnole on the blog, and castagnole are like delicious donuts, basically.
They're fritters. It's a fried dough, but you fry castagnole in pork fat instead of oil.
Yeah, you do.
Which makes it taste absolutely delicious, and you could either sprinkle them with... regular sugar and this liquor called Alchemist, which is a red liquor. It tastes a little bit like...
pumpkin pie to me.
You really think it tastes like pumpkin pie?
Pumpkin pie mix. There's something about it.
It tastes like anise.
There's something pumpkin pie to me. I don't know. It's really weird.
Or you can drizzle a little bit of honey over it.
Yeah.
And I prefer the honey. All the kids are getting their costumes ready. The big... Apecchio makes a really nice carnival parade. The carnival parade's been going the last 2 weekends in Fano. They've been doing it. So, carnivale!
Give me candy!
And we will start...
that's what I love about the parade in Apecchio, is they throw candy to the kids, but they have, like, sausages they throw, and wine they pass out, and it's awesome. The big trucks they make, what are those called?
Floats.
The floats, thank you. It's great.
It is cute.
And, but we found out, I thought, oh, hey, let me look this up. We're going to be in Greece for Carnival. This could be pretty cool. It ends up the port town we arrive in is one of the most famous towns in Greece for Carnival. And I thought, oh my God, what are the odds? Well, they're not very good because the Greeks go by the Greek Orthodox calendar, so it's not the same time at all. We're like 3 weeks off, which kind of sucks, but whatever.
Are you going to give anything up for Lent?
Wow, put on the spot. No. I give up making tiramisu.
Jeez.
No, I don't know. Are you giving anything up?
No, I don't know. Sure. I'm giving up booze. I don't really drink, so it doesn't matter. What else is going on in our neck of the woods?
Gosh. I don't know.
Wow, they don't call her the best color man in baseball for nothing there, folks. You got nothing?
No, I can't think of anything. We had horrible coffee this morning, so my head is not right.
Man, we are not in Italy anymore. I paid €7 for 2 instant coffees here on the beautiful... what's the name of this boat again?
Minonian...
No, that's the line. It's the Europa Link.
Yes.
Oh my God, we are not in Italy anymore. €7 for 2 shitty coffees.
Oh my God. I could see his face when he was ordering, and I thought, why does he look so angry? And he came back, and he was like, €7.
Not even a real coffee. He took 2 scoops of instant Nesquik and the Nestle instant coffee and put hot water to it. And I just looked at him like... Gotta be kidding, man.
Oh, speaking of coffee, we made a video. If you haven't seen it on YouTube yet, check out how to use a mocha to make Italian coffee at home.
Do you want to explain a mocha?
A mocha is a stovetop percolator for your espresso.
Most people in Italy don't, most families in Italy use the mocha as the everyday coffee maker. We don't, no one that I know has a real coffee pot, like, where the water comes up the top and filters through a filter. Everyone uses the mocha. And it makes an absolutely wonderful, wonderful cup of coffee.
Yeah, it really does.
The only thing it doesn't do is do the crema, the little white foam, the foamy part on top of the coffee, but that's okay. If you use a really good coffee, we like Lavazza Cafe Oro, and you get a milk pumper or a frother, you can have a pretty slamming cappuccino.
It really is. Before we moved to Italy, we went through this kick of coffee makers. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. And buying different ones, and your mom got us one, and it was like something about the water never getting hot enough in the pot or something, and it changed the way. It just was not a strong cup of coffee. And the mocha, you're going to get a heavy dose every tazzo, every cup. But it's just funny because they don't really call it espresso here. You would ask for a cafe.
Yeah, in Italy, espresso just means quickly. So espresso coffee is a quick coffee. You wouldn't go into... Please don't go into a cafe and order an espresso. Just order a cafe.
Un cafe, per favore.
And a cafe will be probably one finger in the cup. If you order a macchiato, which means marked with milk, it'll be a shot of coffee with a mark of foam. And if you order a cappuccino or a cappuccio, you'll get hot milk with steamed milk with foam on top of your coffee.
But the video, it's blowing up. No, it's not, but it's great. So if you want to know how to use a mocha, check out our little video online. You can see the link on our blog as well.
And we're getting into doing video more and more now. I never knew how much time it takes to shoot and then edit that stupid little video. It is time consuming.
Jason made me lights, so it's all lit up, and next up is audio. That's why there hasn't been any audio in the videos as of
yet. Yeah, we just set them to music because the built-in microphone in the camera is terrible, and to get real audio is an investment. So before we go down and throw money down on a digital recorder or some kind of and a microphone, we need to know what we're buying. So hopefully when we get back, we'll get the necessary professional audio equipment, and now we could actually have someone talking in our videos, which is great.
Wow.
Check that out.
On a totally random side note, shocking, I wanted to make sure to not forget to say a big thank you and shout out to Jake Woods and his help in locating Mario Vertolini's family in America. And it's
well, go back,
incredible.
Reset that story.
Yeah, from the last podcast, we talked about going to Ostra and meeting a really nice gentleman named Mario who, upon finding out that we're American, started pulling out these old family photos and asked if we knew them and if we could help find them. And they were in their 70s or 90s. I mean, it was all this kind of just craziness. And someone listened to the podcast and shot us an email and offered to help. And sure enough, he has made the family connection and they're all in contact. And it's just kind of wonderful. And it's absolutely wonderful for me to think of someone who doesn't know them and is just listening from afar to go out of their way and really make an effort to connect to this family. I thought that was really touching.
And it's incredible the power of the podcast and the power of what a small world it is now that you can just have a little bit of information and someone who just wants to reconnect with their family and a couple weeks later, it's done. It's absolutely incredible. So, Jake, thank you so much. You have no idea how happy you made this wonderful, sweet, beautiful man.
Mm-hmm.
And I hopefully his family is just as ecstatic as he is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Coming up for the next week, it's going to be time to start opening up apartments. I have painting to do. I have toilets to fix. We're with Carolyn and our neighbor Carolyn, who has the greenhouse, who starts all the seeds. She was pulling out all the seeds that we're going to start. It's time to get going and doing that. As soon as the garden dries out a little bit, the earth dries out, it'll be start time to turn the soil.
Do we have to go clean up all those tomatoes?
Oh, yes. We have a ton of work left. We have to pull... Jason didn't pull all the dead plants out of the field before the ground froze, so we're going to have to go and do that.
That's going to be a ton of work.
It's going to be a ton of back-breaking work. Have you ever pulled... You haven't done it before, have you?
Not like that, but I remember when we also did, like, the throwing of the shit, the manure all over the field.
That's the easy part.
I know.
Pulling all those things out is just horrible work. But it's all part of the fun part of the garden. Can't wait.
It will be good, though. Hopefully this spring will be nice and the weather will be consistent and we won't have a May freeze, my God.
No.
So, should we sign off?
Yeah, we're going to keep this one a little bit shorter. If you would like to get in contact with us, please leave your questions or comments. Rate the podcast if you'd like. 5-star. Make it 5-star.
Since we're on sea, how do you say good luck? How does a fisherman say good luck? Not the Mboka Lupo of the...
Nel culo de la balena? In the ass of the whale?
Yes!
Yeah.
I wanted to sign off with that. Since, in the ass of the whale, since we're out at sea.
But we're in Greece now.
Yeah, but I don't know how to say it.
Okay, Greek is... Greeks, if you listen to it, it's not... It doesn't sound terribly different than Italy to my ear. Italian, I'm sorry, Italy. To Italian
America?
To my ear, but the writing is crazy because it's a whole new alphabet. And it's going to be interesting because we are going to the...
Like Sicily, Napoli.
Yeah, we're going to the middle of nowhere, Greece. We're not going to the touristy parts. We're going basically like... The first place we're staying in is like a Piobico, our little town, 2,000 people, no one speaks English type thing.
I think it's at 200 inhabitants.
Oh, nice. So we're taking it down by a factor of 10. Nice. So it'll be fun. I like doing that kind of traveling. I don't want to travel to a place and speak English and have ice in my drink. And I want to go and really rough it and feel like, you know, you're really part of the culture and the people. And it'll be great. Greek people are great. I mean, they like to drink, they like to eat, and they like to have fun. So it'll be great.
Hopla! It's all Greek to me!
We'll have some ouzo.
Yes.
We'll have a lot of lamb. We'll have tzatziki. We can't wait to have good yogurt and honey.
Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be great. And we're going to be in Kalamata.
Yeah, well, Kalamata, we'll have some good olives. Oh, yeah, and there's just a little bit of history there. Just a little.
You know. If you like the Iliad.
We're staying in Sparta, and we're staying on the Mani Peninsula, which is part of the Peloponnese. So you can go ahead and Google that if you're really interested in where good old Jason and Ashley are bopping around for the next couple days.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much for listening. Find us at latavolamarche.com, LatavolaMarche. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us at latavolamarche.blogspot.com.
Twitter.
Send us your questions.
Oh, YouTube.
Yeah, send us your questions or comments. And if anyone would like to hear us talk about something, or if there's something you didn't understand, or would want us to expand on, go ahead and shoot us an email. info@latavolamarche.com or jason@latavolamarche.com or ashley@latavolamarche.com. Anything else?
No.
All right, we only have another 8 hours left on this boat.
Tuck in.
Tuck in. Awesome. Thank you very much for downloading. Have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Ciao.